Blog Talk Radio.
Hallelujah. Welcome, welcome, family, to another episode of Cool Elohim. I am your host, Malka, coming to you from Baltimore, Maryland, Beth Yahuwah Assembly in Yahushua. Thanking you again for spending this time with me. Just as I share the word of the Most High and what's, you know, He's been laying on my heart and giving me a better understanding with. But first of all, I want to start off by giving the Most High glory and honor because He has been working greatly in my personal life. And I want to honor Him for that. This week we witnessed, my family witnessed His mercy for us when we, my family's from New York, natively, and my niece sent us a text message, a video of a news report of this restaurant that we normally go to when we visit New York, because they sell authentic Caribbean food, and that was one thing that, you know, the restaurant that we normally go to was shot up on the news. But then I guess the highlight was they actually interviewed my older cousin, so we were all like tripping to see our cousin on TV and the news. But it wasn't until days later that we found out that my niece and her husband was actually in the restaurant at the time when the shootout happened. And when I called her to speak with her, she said that, you know, where she was standing, she doesn't normally stand for whatever reason. Her husband called her to stand beside him. And when the shooting happened, because she actually saw the guy walking through the club with the gun shooting, her husband was able to pull her to safety. And when I heard that story, I just couldn't stop praying and thanking Yahweh for protecting my niece and her husband. And I just was sharing with my family that, you know, if the Father was not in the midst, that our whole lives would be different today at the time when we were sharing this revelation, that we would be in a time of mourning and great sadness, but Yahweh in His goodness protected us and delivered us from feeling that kind of pain and having to live through that kind of tragedy. As believers, we need to spend more time boasting in the things the Father does for us. We don't realize that Yahweh is worthy to be praised, and when He do things in our lives, we need to publish it, because this is what attracts people to the Most High. Because when people keep hearing of His goodness and His deliverance, that builds up their hearts and their spirits and their faith, and that draws them to want to be in His family and want to love Him and enjoy all of His goodness. Which leads us in today's lesson. Our opening song was Encourage Yourself, which is important. This morning, my sister shared that she had to actually do that for herself this week. She had to encourage herself to pull herself up by the bootstraps and get herself in a better place emotionally and spiritually. And she loved on herself. And sometimes we have to do that. That is necessary. But today's lesson is not so much about us encouraging ourselves, but it's about edification. What does the word talk about when it says edification? In this walk, it will get difficult at times. If you're a new believer and you're in this walk and your expectation is a smooth walk and a blessed and just rosy color walk, that is not the walk that you're going to face. This walk at times does get very difficult, and we do experience great times of blessings and just goodness from the Most High. But this walk that we are in is a process. And as we travel this road together, we all at times going to need encouragement, but not just encouragement, we also going to need edification. As sisters in the faith, do we actively edify one another, or are we falling into the pattern of pulling one another down, as the world likes to describe women, or worse yet, women of color? We're going to see what the scripture says. And the path that the Father has us on these past couple weeks with the lessons is really about the bigger picture. We spend a lot of times studying the thous and the thuses of Torah, which we should know Torah, and we should be learned in Torah and know the ways that the Father has given us, because the Torah is His government, and as good citizens, we need to know how to walk in His kingdom. But a question that's been on my heart is, do we really see the big picture? I've shared this before. Before Moshe, there was no Torah. In the kingdom, the Torah that Moshe was given is not going to be there. And we can say that because the scriptures talk about when they asked Yahushua about the woman who had seven husbands, and when she gets into the kingdom, who wife will she belong to? And Yahushua said, you err not knowing the scripture. In the kingdom, there's neither marriage nor given in marriage. So that means every commandment or statute or judgment that pertains to marriage just went out the window. Torah is for a specific time and purpose. The bigger picture is the purpose. And Yahweh said in His word by the prophet Yeshayahu, I will reveal the end from the beginning. And we can find the clues of Yahweh's purpose when He created us. When we go back to Genesis, you know, Genesis is a very prophetic book. We don't think about the book of Bereshit as being a prophetic book. But because Yeshayahu said that Yahweh has declared the end from the beginning, and Bereshit is the beginning, that means that book is a book of prophecy. It is for us to go back with spiritual eyes and through revelation of the Ruach HaKodesh to see the prophecies in Bereshit. Because Yahweh said this in His word in Bereshit chapter 1. He said, let us make man in our image. Yahweh didn't say, let us just make man. He had a purpose for man, that man would be in the image of Yahweh Elohim. So as we go through life, it is not just do's and don'ts, because the word also says one place that people's heart is far from Him. Their lips say one thing, but their heart is far from them, from Him. Actions show one thing, but the heart is far from Yah. The Father is looking for us to become into the image and the likeness of the Most High. So He gave us an example, what He gave us, Mashiach Yahushua, who walked in the expressed image, according to Hebrews, of the invisible power that we serve as Yah. And another place, Brother Shaul said, follow me as I follow Mashiach. So we have that example. A lot of things that Israel had against Yahushua was the fact that he didn't do things the way they expected he would, because Yahushua walked understanding the bigger picture. They were tripping over healing on the Shabbat when Yahushua had to show them the bigger picture. What is better? Is it not a good thing to do good on Shabbat? Should this person stay diseased and crippled when all I got to do is say a word? As believers, our eyes have to become better focused on the bigger picture. So edification, when we look at the word edification, and we always want to start with understanding what words mean. Let that become a habit as all of us, as students of the Most High. Do not take words meaning for granted. Do not stand on what you think it means and what you believe it means. Words have gone through development over centuries from different cultures, and we want to have the foundation in our minds straight as we go forward with study. Now, edification, we came across two definitions. One means to instruct or improve someone morally or intellectually. That's a fine definition, but I like the second one better because it's more simple, it's more concrete. To teach someone in a way that improves the mind or character. Okay? So when we are edifying someone, it is not us just encouraging them, because when we think about encouragement, we think about uplifting someone's spirit or increasing their courage to overcome something. Edify, we're actually instructing someone in a way that improves them. And this definition gives us two areas of improvement, the mind and the character. Now, when we look at the bigger picture of walking in this way of life, the bigger picture has to be on us being made in the image and likeness of Yahweh Elohim. Synonyms for this word, edify. One is to build and to establish. And we can go a whole another direction with the synonyms. But we want to keep in mind the thought of it being an improvement of the mind or the character, and also the thought of building. This word, edify, comes from the Latin, and it means to erect a house. Now, when we think about erecting a house, we have to think about the process. For a house to be built, there is a process. So when we think about edifying one another, we have to keep in mind it's going to be a process for us as we teach someone a thing that's going to improve their mind or character. Not so much as the teacher a process, but as the student. The person that you're teaching, they're going to have to process the information that you're giving them according to their timing, not our own. Our responsibility as sisters to one another, and this is not just a responsibility of the imas or the elders, the zakanim. This is a responsibility of every sister to one another. And, of course, that goes across the board without needing to say for brothers as well. But as always, we're trying to focus on our relationship as sisters. Let's take a look at Romans chapter 14, and we're going to go to verse 19. Romans 14:19 says, let us therefore follow after the things which make for peace, and things wherewith one may edify another. When we look up this word edify in the Greek, it is number 3619. And it means the act of building or building up. A building, a thing that is built. Now, we want to think about two things from this definition. And this definition, from the Strong's Lexicon, it is number 3619. We want to think about two things in that definition. One, the act of building or building up. And the other one in the thought of an edifice. We want to turn to Matthew chapter 24. And we're going to read the first verse. And Yahushua went out and departed from the temple. And his disciples came to him to show him the building of the temple. Now, in that verse, when we see the word buildings, that's the same word as we just read in Romans 14:19 when it spoke about us edifying one another. We are trying to help one another become a building for the Most High. And I'm not going to rush through this, but just try to follow along. Yahweh is trying to use us to help one another become buildings. When we look at the word edifice, and this word edifice actually grammatically is the foundation of the word architecture. We're going to look at another scripture, First Peter chapter 2 and verse 5 says, "You also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Yah by Yahushua HaMashiach." See, this is what we are. Each one of us as individual, we are a lively stone that are being put together to build a house. Not just any house, a spiritual house for the purpose of offering up spiritual sacrifices that are acceptable to Yah. But we have to do this together. We have to do this helping one another. 1 Corinthians says, "Don't you know that ye are the temple of the set-apart spirit?" That's each one of us who have been baptized and given the Ruach HaKodesh of the Most High. We now become temples, a dwelling place of the set-apart spirit. As we edify one another, this is what we're supposed to be doing for one another. You're supposed to be helping me build me up so that Yahweh's spirit could dwell within me. But he cannot dwell within us if the temple is not clean. The Father has, we've gone through in the past, so many different commandments about being clean and unclean, and we have dietary law that food is clean and unclean, and we have needle laws and leprosy laws and all these things about being clean and unclean, and at the end of the day, the issue is Yahweh saying, keep my set-apart place holy. So he put these parameters for us to practice. But we have to now take these things outside of us and now turn it towards us and say, am I making sure that my temple, so that the Holy Spirit can dwell in me? Because we have been taught the pattern. Think about the dietary laws, something you put in your mouth. Think about the laws of issues, things that are coming out of your body. Think about the issues of leprosy, things about your skin. everything from top to bottom, in and out. Yahweh said, you have to be clean and pure, or else you cannot participate in my worship. You cannot participate in a set-apart gathering, because he has set apart and sanctified a holy place for his presence. So he says, don't defile it. We have to grow up when we and understand Torah with maturity. He's talking about us. But as we be built up, are we building ourselves up where his Holy Spirit wants to be? For the scripture says that we can grieve the Holy Spirit. We can also quench it. And we quench it by, think about how you quench something. You just don't give it water. I have a plant in my room that sometimes I forget to water it, and I just, and like I go blind to the plant because it's been there so long, and then one day the Father opened my eyes and I realized the leaves are all curled under, it's really looking limp, and I'm like, oh my goodness, I didn't water my plant. And as soon, and it's miraculous. I will water it, and within 30 minutes, all the leaves are now rolled out, they're standing up high, they look greener, all because I now watered it. See, that's what happens to our Holy Spirit. See, the Spirit of the Most High that he gave us is holy, but it's connected to him. So it likes the things he likes. It likes righteousness. It likes to practice love. It likes to be in his word. It likes to be transforming. It likes to be changing. It likes to be busy and working. So when the Holy Spirit tells us, hey, why don't you go do X, Y, and Z, or why don't you do X, Y, and Z, and you're like, no, I don't want to do that. No, I don't want to do that. But sometimes the Holy Spirit might be saying, yo, I'm hungry, I'm thirsty, give me something. And then when we starve the Holy Spirit, I will let you know from right now, and this is some example, you will know if you're starving the Holy Spirit when you see chaos, imbalance, confusion, when you start feeling like you're lacking love, when you start feeling lonely, when you feel depressed, when you feel like the Most High doesn't want to be with you, he doesn't love you, you're running on empty. You are running on empty. I know from experience, not just my testimony, but I have other sisters who testify that, oh, I know what I've been doing. I haven't been praying. You know what? I haven't been studying. I haven't been spending time with the Father. I've been distracted, pushing him to the side. And he has his way of getting our attention. Yahweh is not the most, he is not a power that wants to serve him just because he thinks he deserves it. He wants us to include him in our lives because he loves us. And anybody who has another loved one knows what that feels like, where you just want to enjoy the company of the person that you love, but they refuse to call you or come over or spend time with you. So what do you do if you have the power? You cause a little, you know, discomfort. So now they got to call you. It's not him trying to overpower you. He just want to spend time with you. But our spirit needs that because it is alive. By definition, the intent of edification is to improve someone's mind or character. So the first thing that comes into our mind when we think about mind is Romans 12:1, where it says, be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. Take stuff out, put stuff in. Take stuff out, put stuff in. Habits are created by you doing something over and over again. Get in a routine of where once you used to do this every Saturday night, now you do that every Saturday night. Where you used to think this way, now you think that way. And the more we do that, the more the mind changes. Because the mind has to change first before the character changes. Because the character is only a manifestation of what's going on spiritually. 1 Corinthians 2:16 says that we have the mind of Messiah. Well, we really should have the mind of Messiah. We should be moving in the mind of Messiah. Now, when we think about character, we hear when we think of the word character, the Hebrew word for character is Shem, connected to the word Shem, which Shem means name. So your name is your character. This is why in biblical times, they didn't just quickly name children. Sometimes they named the child because of the consequences of the birth, what was going on with the birth, or the relationship that was going on. We see this with the patriarchs when they were born. Now we just name our kids whatever sounds good. But when we name in ancient times, even with Yahweh, because when he gives his prophet's name, their name told their mission. It gave their character. It was a slogan. It was a motto. It was an announcement. But the word Shem shares the root with another Hebrew word, which is Shamayim, which means heavens. Now, what's the connection between name and the heavens and character? See, the heavens reflects. If you ever, it's a reflection. You know, you think about how the heaven is all around us. Your character is what is being reflected off of you. We look in the night sky, we see the moon, we see stars, we see all these. That just, what is it doing? It's reflecting light on the earth. But that only happens when we begin to change the mind. This is a process. And throughout this process, we need help and we need direction. One of the things that grieves my heart, and I'm not to say that I'm not guilty of this as well, because sometimes, you know, we move in our flesh. But sometimes it grieves me when I see believers not having compassion to other people, other believers. That bothers me because I don't believe that's love. I don't believe that you can call yourself a believer, and when your brother or your sister starts to go through something, they get condemnation instead of mercy. They get judgment instead of compassion. Ephesians 6 says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against spirits and principalities in high places. So when our brothers and our sisters begin to go through something, why is our first response not a spiritual response? My brother and my sister, they're under attack. Gather around prayer warriors. Let's pray about this. Let's pray about my sister. Let's pray for my sister. So easy for us to move in the carnal, move in the flesh. But that's not what Yahweh wants for us. Let's take a look at a couple of scriptures of what in the Word where it talks about edifying one another, because the Word tells us to do it. Ephesians 4:29 says, "Let no corrupt word come out of your mouth, but only such as is functional for the use of building up, so as to impart what is pleasant to the hearers." There's no reason for us to have to guess how we need to behave. Everything's in the Word. Shaul wrote this letter to the Ephesus assembly, and he's even telling them how to speak. And when we think about corrupt speech, we're thinking about, you know, the first thing comes to our minds is cursing, because in our society, cursing is something you don't do in church, you don't do in front of your elders, and it's improper. And it is improper. It's impolite. It's rude. It's disrespectful. But do you think Shaul was worried about it, people were cursing, using bad language? No. Corrupt communication is something that corrupts. It's something that is the opposite of building up. When we look at that word corrupt, it's number 4550. It means rotten, putrefied, of poor quality, unfit for use. These are the kind of things that we should not be coming out of our mouth to one another. What the Spirit keeps telling me this morning is we need to start learning to speak life into one another. Speak life. And we do that because the Word says here that the things that should be coming out of our mouth should be functional to be used to edify the hearers. So when we're talking, are the things that we're saying edifying to those who are listening? And these are just food for thought. You know, I'm just sharing what has been shared to me, not a judge. Some of these things, I'm learning as well. And I have to examine my own self. The words that come out of our mouth to one another, does it edify? Does it build up? Or does it tear down? But like we always, you know, as we begin to, you know, as the lesson begins to flow, it's not my words. It's what Yahweh is showing me about a teacher is, a teacher is just the person that he uses to gather the information. That's all it is. The person that put the work in with the Holy Spirit help to gather information and then to share it. That's it. I'm just sharing what was gathered. It's in his word. 1 Thessalonians 5:11 says, wherefore, comfort yourselves together and edify one another, even as also you do. Now, when we read this whole chapter in Thessalonians, this is how Brother Shaul is encouraging the Thessalonians. He's reminding them about what Yahushua did for them, and he's encouraging them to change their behavior and to be mindful and to be sober. But he also is telling them, be a comfort to one another. Edify one another. We need it. Oh, my God. It's impossible to do this walk alone. I challenge anyone to find me any person who say they're walking with the Most High alone and they're doing it okay. It's impossible. Even the scripture says that even if you're in, just a paraphrase, even if you're in bed with somebody else, at least you get body heat from that. You cannot walk this walk alone. What is Yahushua? One of the things he's called is the good shepherd. You think we need a shepherd for us sheep? The shepherd is for flocks, plural. You can't do this alone. Who's going to edify you? Who's going to build you up? Who's going to pick you up? Who's going to encourage you when Satan is kicking your butt all over the four corners of the earth in your mind? Woo, it wouldn't be so bad. That dude would pull out in the middle of the street and try to dust us. But he creeps up and get between our ears, and he just has a field day. And because we're deceived, we don't even realize that he's killing us from within. Well, I was raised with my sister. I'm a twin. And I think one of my challenges with my kids going, you know, when they have to leave in the morning or in the afternoon, they go in two different directions. I wasn't raised like that. My mother always said, stay together. Stay together. You go into the store, take Dion with you. You go into the store, take Donna with you. Hey, don't leave. Don't leave. Wait for one another. That's how I was raised. Because she knew that with two of us, there was protection. One would not be alone. How do we think we can walk this way alone when the adversary is roaming this earth, seeking for whom he can devour? You think he's going after the big flock that has watchmen on the walls, strong walls, strong waters, prayer warriors. You think he's going after that? Or is he going after that sheep in the corner by itself? You know, Yahweh is good. All we got to do is just believe what his words say. If his word says that we're supposed to comfort one another and edify one another, then, hey, you got a problem with it, take it up with the master. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10. Still looking at the need of us edifying one another. Hebrews chapter 10. Love, love, love the book of Ibrahim. Maybe one day we'll just read through this book together as a sisterhood on Blog Talk, because this is a letter to us. This is our letter. You know, this is what Shaul wrote to the assembly that were Hebrews. We're going to go down to verse 24. 24 and 25, Hebrews chapter 10 says, "Let us consider one another." You think about that? Do we consider one another? But consider one another to this extent. Let's continue that verse. "To provoke unto love and to good works." Do you remember when we said earlier that no corrupt communications come out of our mouth, but that which edifies the hearer? Do we ever consider how when we say things to people that we're not provoking them to love or good works, but we're actually provoking them to depression, provoking them to contentment? We're disrupting people's spirit because of the things that come out of our mouth. When the word says that we're supposed to build one another up, he said we're supposed to be provoking each other to love, provoking each other to good works, not doing a nasty, negative way. "Come on, sister, you need love. You need to show me some love. Come here, sister. You should be out here doing what I'm doing because this is a good thing." No, not like that. That's being arrogant. That's being an idiot. Provoking one another by, "Wow, I see Sister Aliyah over there doing that, and I see her spirit changing. I see her now just looking for every opportunity where she can be a servant. I think I want to start doing that." And that's a true testimony because of how we are dealing with one another. Verse 25. Okay, let's go back to 24. It says, "Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." When he's talking about forsaking the assembling of ourselves, this scripture has been used in the past about, you know, we should not go to service. But service is an assembling. But that's not what I'm feeling as I read this. You know, it's just as believers coming together, fellowshipping together. For what purpose? For the purpose of exhorting one another. When we look at that word exhorting, it is 3870, means to admonish, to exhort, to console, to encourage, to strengthen by consolation, to encourage. This is what we do for one another. This is how we build one another up. He says, "And even more as you see the day approaching." What day is Shaul talking about? The day of Jacob's trouble. The day when this whole world turns its eyes on Yisrael. The whole world. When we're going to need to be working together. Some of us are going to lose our jobs behind it. Some of us are going to lose our possessions. We're going to have to work together, live together, provide for one another, because we will become public enemy number one. If you want to, get an idea of what it's like, today the Holocaust. What happened in Europe before the Holocaust, when they started to exile the quote unquote Jews that lived over there? They took their businesses, they kicked the kids out of school, they lost their jobs, they became regulated to the ghettos. Now we think about the ghettos, we think about this poor rundown neighborhood, but that word is connected to a Hebrew word, get, which means a divorce. So a ghetto is an area that is divorced from surrounding society. It's a place where people who are put away. That's what a ghetto is. This is what's going to happen to Yisrael. But we think we're going to be okay because we're going to be by ourselves. Now, you can go ahead and try being by yourself. I'm not going to try it because I know the scriptures is just, besides what the scripture says, it just makes sense. This strength in numbers. All right. Let me see where I'm going to next. Sometimes edifying can be a difficult thing to do for one another, because remember the definition that we are flowing on is to teach someone something that helps improve them, their mind, and their character. That means it's not always going to be something easy or nice. If scripture says, if a brother is caught up in a sin, you who are spiritual, go and build up your brother. That, however that looks, it should be done in the spirit of love. But for anyone to have to hear, man, you're tripping. Poop stink, man. What's going on with you? That's not always easy. And some of us might get upset and angry, like, how dare you ask me where I was last Shabbat? I was minding my business. You know, that kind of attitude. But sometimes we have to be brave enough to be that voice of accountability. 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 10 says, and this is the funny thing, because, I'm thinking about 1 Corinthians 13. But 2 Corinthians 13, 10 says, therefore, I write these things, being absent, lest being present, I should use sharpness. So here Brother Shaul is saying, basically he's saying, if I was in your face, I'd be cutting you with my words. That's what he's telling them. I should use sharpness according to the power which Adonai has given me. Okay? So Shaul is saying, if I was in your face for the stuff that you guys are doing, the power the master gave me, I will use it sharply to edify and not to destroy. Do we ever think that we can cut somebody and not destroy them? If a person has a heart in their right place, even when you come to them with the sharpest of truth, it should not destroy them. So the scripture says a wise person loves counsel. Or loves correction. Shaul is saying that this is a power that was given to him. Us to edify, us using the opportunity to correct one another, even when it's going to be difficult. Sometimes as believers, and this is something we've been talking about last night, we accept the bad behavior of one another just because we say, hey, that's how that sister is, or hey, that's how that brother is. And that unclean spirit just stays there because we've accepted it as that person's personality. And that's not right. We have to be our brother's keeper, not only when we see them doing something wrong, But when we see that they have, they constantly move in a spirit of uncleanness, causing, I mean, just think about, you know, whatever, the scriptures talk about, you know, mark those who cause confusion. Don't just sit by and just say, yeah, that's sister so-and-so, she always thought in confusion, and, you know, that's just how she is. No, you reprimand that spirit. Because if we're trying to be built up so the Holy Spirit can dwell in us, you think the Holy Spirit wants to dwell in a cesspool where all they want to do is cause confusion? Every time they open their mouth, there's nothing but negativity coming out? Don't nobody want to be around that? But what do? Ah, that's just how the sister is. Just got to learn her ways. No, we don't learn her ways. I don't got to accept, we don't have to accept bad behavior. We don't got to accept bad testimonies or bad representation of the Most High Spirit. It needs to be corrected. Because we're trying to help build each other to be that set apart place of His Spirit. First Corinthians 14:26 says, what then is it, brothers? When of you come together, each one has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all be done for upbuilding. When we are coming together, when we're coming together to fellowship, the things that we should be doing in our fellowshipping should be the things that is building us up, strengthening us. Hard times are coming, Yisrael. Hard times are coming. My sisters, a lot of our men are going to be called to the front lines in this battle. Are we going to be able to build them up? Are we going to be able to toe that line? Are we going to be able to continue with what needs to be done on the home front? You know, during World War II, that's how women began. That's the main time when women joined the workforce, because all the men were at war. Women, for a man to keep his job, his wife literally went to the factory and did his job. Because they had to eat. They had to continue the work of their husbands. So as our men are on the front line fighting this spiritual battle, we need to be edifying them, edifying ourselves, edifying each other, edifying our brothers, because, like Shaul said, especially as we see that day approaching, keep your eyes on what's going on. The Pope is coming to address the United Nations on Yom HaKippurim, High Holy Day. On a Judean calendar, is the holiest day of the year, of all of Yah's feasts. That's the one day where He says, don't even eat. He said, afflict yourselves. And this is the day that the head of the Catholic Church to address the representative body of the world. Yisrael, we need to keep our eyes on this. Then on Sukkot, the first day of Sukkot, for the past 2 years, we've been hearing about this blood moon, blood moon, blood moon, which it is a blood moon, which is a total lunar eclipse during a full moon. But this is what I recently learned. It is a super moon. This is a super blood moon. This is when the moon is going to be at one of its closest conjunction to the earth. That means nothing to you, but I know what the words say. He said, I put the sun, moon, and stars in the heavens to be as signs, strong signs, because the word there is oath, to be a strong sign. The time is coming. This is not the time to go rogue. This is not the time to go commando and be, hey, I'm a one-man militia. This is not the time. We're going to take a look at Hebrew. This is going to be our last scripture. Jeremiah chapter 24, my poor cat, I locked in the basement because she was making too much noise, and now I hear her trying to make her way through the door, but she'll be all right. She makes too much noise. She just sits there and meows and meows and meows constantly for no good reason under the sun. So when I heard that she was downstairs, I was like, oh, bye-bye. All right, Jeremiah chapter 24, verse 6. And this is prophecy that Yahweh gave to Jeremiah about Yisrael during their captivity, before they were taken captive. He says, I will set my eyes upon them for good, and I will bring them again to this land. And I will build them and not pull them down. And I will plant them and not pluck them up. Where it says, I will build them, that word build is 1129, the Hebrew word bana. That is the Hebrew equivalent to the Greek word for edify or edification. And it means to build, to rebuild, to establish, to cause, to continue, to build a house, in other words, to establish a family. Literally, it means to build. And in the same verse, we see the contrast to that, where it says that, where Yahweh says that he will not pull them down, that is number 2040. And this word is harash. Harash. And that kind of sounds like our English word harass. You know, when you harass somebody, you know, that's what it brought to my mind. But let's deal with this word first, and then we'll go back to dealing with the Hebrew bana. 2040, harass, means to tear down, to break down, to beat down, to destroy, to throw down, to tear down. In the ancient Hebrew lexicon, it literally means to break into pieces by throwing down. Now, how many times do we do that to one another? Because this is the opposite of bana. In other words, to edify or to build up. How many times do the things that we do or say to one another are actually tearing down somebody? Just this weekend, I had my daughter shared an experience where she witnessed that happen. And it was sad because it happened between an elder brother and a young brother, a struggling young brother. And a harsh word was said to him, and it discouraged him. Yahweh says in his word by way of Shaul, I think that was in 2 Corinthians 13 at the end, going towards the end, it says, greet each other with a holy kiss. It don't say greet each other with condemnation. It don't say greet each other by kicking someone down, plucking them down, tearing them down. Yahweh said he's not even going to do that to us. Why are we doing it to one another? Our actions, our words, our attitudes, our spirits, those are not of the Most High. If that's your reputation, if that's what you're known for, my sister Reza, re-examine really what Ruach is moving us. But let's look at this word bana. Because when the Father showed it to me, I was like, all right, Abba, that's exactly how you're going to close the show, because no more need to be said after this, because it's going to be clear. We are trying to build one another up by teaching one another in a way that changes our mind and character, because we're trying to be made in the image and the likeness of the Most High. We get that express image through his son, Yahushua. He says that we are lively stones built up to offer praise to him. He says that we are the temple where his Holy Spirit dwells. He tells us through Leviticus, be ye holy and I am holy. He says, I desire to dwell with you. Give me a tabernacle. Give me somewhere to live with you. Building up. Bana, bet, nun, he. Bet is a house. The nun is the seed. And the hay is someone, a man with his hands raised up looking at an awesome sight. You know what that awesome sight is? That bet and that nun. The sun. Ben. See, because when we are built up in the image of Yahweh, what the world is supposed to be seeing is, oh my goodness, there's the Messiah. Because our character has changed, because our mind has changed, and we've allowed the Holy Spirit to purge us and prune us and take things in, out, and put things in. And now that day comes, Yahweh looks upon us and he says, well done. Not because of who you are, but because he sees son. So now, wow, my son. The house continues. This is what we have to be for one another. This is what it means to edify one another. Am I going to help you become into the image and likeness of Yahushua? Am I going to help you, or am I going to hinder you? If we're not building up, if we're not continuing in the sun, then who are you? Are you housing within you? Food for thought. I thank Yahweh for his word. I thank him, and I'm grateful for this opportunity to be taught and to share. And I pray that Yahweh blesses his message and all those that listen. Let us not be hearers of the word, but let us be doers. Let us be intentional in helping one another become more like Mashiach. Let us be intentional in not tearing down people's spirits and souls and being a hindrance to their walk. Let's not do that anymore. We're all on the same road. We are all in the same boat. We all have the same struggle. We all have the same enemy. We also all have the same Father. So let's be better children to one another, well, to him, and be better siblings to one another. This is love. Until next time, Yisra'al, pray for the peace of Yisra'al. Pray that we as Yahweh's children are strengthened as we see that day approaches, and that we stay the course, and we stay our eyes on Yahushua, and that we don't turn to the left nor to the right, that we stand our ground and don't be tossed to and fro, so that we can all make it. Until next time, Yisra'al, Shalom.
All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. Yeah. Oh, hallelujah. All the glory belongs to you. All the glory belongs to you, oh God. All the glory belongs to you.
desire to give your name the highest praise today. So we say hallelujah.